You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with you here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. And it is time now to dip into the mailbag. So we'll bring in our producer, Dino, Dave DiNatale. Dino, what's going on in the mailbag
today? Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
Let's start with, again, use the hashtag AskCBD. Tweet at us at Browns_daily. Nathan is at Nathan Zagura. Now, Matt, what is your Twitter handle? Is at MattWilhelm57. Is that correct?
Yes, and it is still at a standstill as
that
we inch
Matt
closer
Wilhelm
to
35.
At Matt Wilhelm 35.
35 is the new one.
I thought that's the new one.
Okay. Yes. He has two of them. Neither one of them is active.
Okay.
Correct. But we're getting there.
All right. We'll work on that. All right. From my sister's keeper. Guys, what progress is Duke Johnson making, if any? He's the only running back that I think will be around come next year, honestly.
Very hard to make progress when you don't practice. And unfortunately, Duke Johnson is struggling with some type of hamstring injury to the extent where it most likely would not keep him out of practice. But I believe that the training staff and Coach Pettine, because of the role that Duke Johnson might play for this football team, is not practicing because they do not want to make it worse.
We don't know about the progress. They hope to have him out there for week 3 against Tampa, and hopefully we can see him. I think he's a guy who can have a big impact on this offense, playmaker, home run hitter, but we got to get him out on the field, get him healthy, and see it.
Also, guys, from Jim West. Again, use the hashtag AskCBD. Will Dwayne Bowe ever play for the Browns? Because, frankly, I'm starting to have doubts.
Well, I think to reference the first tweet as well, I'm having the same question about Duke Johnson because they about the same day they've been out with the same injury. But I definitely hope so. And I think, as I mentioned, and if you listen to Coach Pettine's comments, which I believe will air here later in the show, or maybe even tomorrow after yesterday's practice, he's asked that question. I think the emphasis is for everyone to be out there and readily available for that Tampa Bay Buccaneers game. So, not a big bunch of hurt to have them out versus the Bills, because then you go Thursday and then you have the 9 days before you play Saturday, which is that dress rehearsal we're all looking forward to. So if you have them by then, you're reluctant to think you can see what type of role he'll have for this football team.
I think he's another one that they expect back for week 3 against Tampa. But, yeah, you got to get Dwayne Bowe out there. I thought he looked very good in the early going, but you need to see him continue to build on that. Now, the good news is he's not a guy whose game is built on speed, but he's got to be out there, and you got to get that timing down, because a lot of stuff he's going to do is going to be timing-based, where he's covered pretty closely. It's got to be thrown to a particular spot, and he's got to be able to make plays. Yeah, these guys, the injuries are – it's good that nothing has been super serious – but all of these little injuries are adding up. I think it's like 20 out of the 90 guys.
Yeah, and I just and I know there was a few questions in Pettine's presser yesterday after practice as well, and you know, guys have to take care of themselves, nutrition and sleep and accountability and things of that sort. And I get it. I'm not pointing a finger at anybody, but it just to me, it's I don't know why we have so many hamstrings and these strains, and are we being because. You pull a hamstring almost every third day in training camp, or you strain something, whether it's your ankle or your calf, and there's a lot of pulls, but it never essentially kept us out of practice. You just kind of went through it. You did as much as you could in practice. You were at least in uniform. And there's something to be said, too, going through individual and going through the walkthroughs and out there. And then maybe, okay, you're out there in pads, but your helmet's off and you wear the red jersey or something like that. You wear the red jersey. It's a step in the right direction. But to come out consistently in tennis shoes with a bucket hat on for practice is very frustrating, I'm sure, for the coaches, but they're being safe. But very frustrating for us and us fan base, because – players that we're going to rely on week one are not in uniform, and will they be ready is a question that looms in many people's head.
And when you look at the schedule for this team, they've got to get out to a quick start.
Yes.
So it is imperative to have these guys here and ready to go early in the season before the schedule starts to get very, very difficult.
Yes.
All right, guys, from Tommy Steinmetz at Steinmetz 2. All right. Using the hashtag AskCBD. Do you see any kind of a wide receiver skill set in Justin Gilbert? Because it's been pointed out that when he's got the ball in his hands, he certainly looks more explosive than he does as a cornerback. And Tommy also picking up on something that's been talked about later in the day here on KNR on the Bruce Hooley Show. Would a straight-up trade for Eagles quarterback Matt Barkley for Gilbert make any sense to you?
I don't believe so. And I think it's a stretch because of the investment that you have, you know, in the eighth overall pick, Justin Gilbert. And I know, Nathan, you've edified it, that patience with Jimmy Smith in Baltimore and how it's panned out for them defensively. You have to kind of do the same thing with this regime in Farmer and Pettin, and you have to do the same with Justin Gilbert.
You do. Listen, you got to take time. Listen. He's not being traded for Matt Barkley. If it's just not happening, he's not being moved to receiver. They're going to give him time to be the cornerback they draft him to be, and if they have to move on from him, eventually they will. That time is just not now.
Do you see him, though, winning the kick returner job?
Do I see him winning?
It depends if Duke Johnson's healthy or not.
Right.
Okay. Also here on the mailbag from Matt, what's the running back depth chart overall look like? And do you guys think when all said and done, Isaiah Crowell will be the man?
I'll give my perspective. I do, in fact, think Isaiah Crowell would get the first carries in a football game. He will in Buffalo. He will against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, most likely, barring an injury, and would likely continue that to week one as we visit the New York Jets. But I would say at this point right now, if with a healthy Sean Drone, that Drone and West might be lateral next to each other as a number two because of the camps that they had. And then Duke Johnson, just simply because he's going to make this football team, but he's been injured and you don't know what you have from a running back standpoint, he would be the three.
Yeah, I do think Crow's going to get the first opportunity to be a starter. And what is so good about him from talking to coaches is he's really stepped up his game in pass protection. These running backs, and a lot of people are saying, well, we need to bring in somebody. It's the running backs. I'm going to tell you right now, nobody can be a successful runner, maybe save Barry Sanders, if you're constantly having to make guys miss before you even get to the line of scrimmage. That is not a recipe for running. Good running backs get a few yards push from their offensive line, and then they're able to go ahead and get down the field and make plays. Right now, they are not able to do that. The offensive line needs to create these running lanes for these running backs.
And finally here in this segment of Ask CBD, from Don Heckelmoser. Guys, can you give a report on how Armonte Bryan is doing coming off of last year's injury? How's he looked in training camp?
You know, as we continue to reference the defensive line as one of the most competitive groups on this entire roster, Armonte Bryant has kind of approached training camp early on, you know, started with the red jersey, kind of had the kid gloves on, but not making a whole lot of noise. And that doesn't mean that he's not going to make this team. I believe that he's put in a precarious situation where he's taking reps at outside linebacker and then going back and flipping back to being an inside guy or an end position in this defense in certain packages. But not making a lot of splash, not around the quarterback a lot. And sometimes that's a good thing when you're on the defensive line, and sometimes it's a bad thing when you're on the defensive line, because he was the talk of the town from a pass rush situation last year at this time.
Yes, he was the talk of the town. He had some fun nicknames around this campus because of his ability to get into the backfield so frequently. And Armonte Bryant's a guy that I think is going to make this team. I think he still brings a unique skill set as one of the better pass rushers on that defensive line. So feel good about him. Again, I don't know that we'll see the real Armonte Bryant until next year, because it takes a little bit of time to come back from
those
ACLs.
As it has with Travis Benjamin.
Yep. et cetera. So maybe we'll see how that goes over time. All right, when we come back, Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland.com, the Cleveland Plain Dealer, will be with us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. She was in Rochester. We'll see what she has to say about her time there for the Browns and Bills.